Our first scripture passage for this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. And our gospel passage comes from the Gospel of Matthew, select verses from chapters 9 and 10. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons." People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. When we think about what Jesus came to accomplish, salvation is perhaps the first thing that comes to mind. And salvation is often something we think about in spiritual terms. Salvation is about our souls. It is about our faith, believing that God has restored our relationship with God by forgiving our sins, patching us into the righteous life of Jesus Christ, and so not only forgiving us, but making us new, giving us new life. Jesus came preaching and teaching this good news about salvation. Jesus preached and he taught about forgiveness, about new life, a restored relationship with God, that these things were possible. But something important about Jesus' mission that our scripture passages help us to remember, that these stories of Jesus' ministry help us to remember, is that Jesus was not just concerned with the spiritual condition of people's lives. Within the Gospels, we see that Jesus came to help and restore people, not just spiritually, but practically, tangibly, and physically. He came not just to enact a spiritual change, a change of the soul, or a change of the heart or the mind. Jesus came to repair and to restore and to help those who had been harassed and made to feel helpless. That is what our text for today makes absolutely clear, that Jesus came and the crowds came out to see him, and Jesus saw their afflictions, their troubles, how they had been harassed, and he looked with compassion upon them and he acted, drawing on the resources which God the Father and God the Spirit had blessed him with to bring about tangible healing and restoration to people's lives. Jesus didn't just come to restore souls. Jesus came to undo evils and to help people become free from the troubles they faced, no matter what forms those evils and troubles had manifested themselves. If people were lonely, isolated due to a disease or a social stigma or a religious exclusion, Jesus engaged with them, he touched them, he dined with them, and brought them community. If people were possessed and bound by malicious spiritual forces, Jesus came to cast out those evil spiritual forces, to declare an end to their reign of affliction. Jesus came to restore people's control over their bodies and their minds. He came to bring freedom where there was oppression and captivity. He came to put people back into God's hands, back on a path towards an abundant and the good life for which God had created them. If people were physically held back, restricted, or inhibited, Jesus came to bring restoration and healing to hands, to legs, to backs, and to bodies. Jesus didn't come just to deal with immaterial souls. He came to repair flesh and bone. He came to touch and to heal broken bodies. Where bodies were hurt or afflicted or endangered or harassed or abused or held captive, there Jesus arrived to heal and to restore, to protect and to bring freedom and restoration. Our scripture passage from the book of Matthew is about Jesus' first disciples and how Jesus sent them out with the authority and the power to continue this same work. The apostles, those who were sent, they were sent to the broken, the harassed, to those who had been made to feel helpless by systems and forces of evil, abuse, and neglect. Jesus sent out his apostles to bring healing and freedom. This church season in which we travel along together is the season of Pentecost. And it is a season when we remember and acknowledge that the same Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, who descended upon Christ Jesus at his baptism, who empowered him to bring healing and restoration, to address the needs of those who were harassed and made to feel helpless, that same Spirit of God was sent and poured out upon the church, upon the apostles, upon everyone who had faith in Jesus Christ. With that Spirit came a calling to action. When we think about the mission of the apostles, which would become the mission of the church, that same mission which we continue in to this very day, we must realize that our mission as a community of faith is not just to care about people's spiritual lives or their souls, but to care also about their bodies, the practical physical conditions of their lives. When we think about the mission of our churches, we must do so hearing not only Jesus' words that we are to go out and make disciples, but also Jesus' words that we are sent with the authority over evil spiritual forces, to cast them out, to cure every disease and every sickness, that Jesus sent out his church to proclaim the good news, but at the same time he sent out his church to cure the sick, to cleanse the lepers, and even, we are told, to raise the dead. Jesus sent out his apostles to continue the compassionate work of helping those in our world who are harassed, those in our world who have been made to feel helpless. For the past few weeks, we white people, we have been getting an education on the ongoing, historic, and systematic harassment and affliction that faces our black brothers and sisters in this country. We have been hearing about the ways in which our black brothers and sisters have been harassed and been made to feel helpless. I have the last few weeks, and I hope you have as well, I have been listening to black voices, not only those of the voices of those marching in the streets, but also to the voices of researchers and activists who have been studying the roots of this harassment and hopelessness that has filled so many hearts in our country. The statistics and studies and testimonies are convicting. God's Spirit speaks through them to confirm in our hearts that racism and the ongoing effects of slavery and systematic racism in our country have contributed to a long-standing and ongoing public health emergency which faces black communities. People of God, we live in a broken society. A society that has not only failed black people, but in many cases has overtly harassed them to a point where they feel helpless. Here in New Jersey, there is a staggering wealth gap between those who are white and those who are black. According to an article published on NJ.com, the median net worth, the total worth of everything a person has, their bank accounts, the value of their home, their assets, the median net worth of a white family in New Jersey is around $350,000, which is the highest for any state in our country. And yet the median net worth of a black family in New Jersey is just $6,100. You hear me right. $350,000 versus just $6,100. In addition to this staggering statistic on wealth, there are statistics about crime and policing. In Minneapolis, where George Floyd was murdered by a police officer, a study found that police use force against black people at a rate 7 times higher than those against white people. And similarly, here in New Jersey, police use force against black people at a rate 3 times higher than that against white people. According to the same NJ.com article, in New Jersey, a child who is black is 21 times more likely than a white child to end up in prison. And in our state, we are spending $300,000 a year of our taxpaying money to imprison each of those youth. For adults, the numbers are better, but still shameful, that black adults are 12 times more likely to be imprisoned than white adults. These disparities in wealth and the experience of the criminal justice system cannot and are not explained by the false doctrines that black people are simply less industrious or more criminal by nature. These are the tenets of white supremacy, and they are heresies. Heresies which the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ rejects, and heresies which our church tradition, the Reformed Church in America, calls out and condemns. We are one humanity, and the struggles that black bodies and black people face in our country are due, they are the result of the historic and systematic harassment, abuse, mistreatment, and disenfranchisement of those who are black. A black protester put a fine point on this reality when she reflected on how the beliefs and ideas around drugs have changed in our country around the issue of race. She reflected about how when people who are black, people in her community, when they were becoming addicted to opioid drugs, painkillers, and heroin, the nation reacted by either letting them die of these addictions with little regard for their lives, or by going to war against black people, treating them as morally bankrupt, arresting them with zero tolerance policing policies, and throwing them in prisons. However, she went on further, as soon as white people started to struggle with the same addiction to the same drugs, as soon as white communities were rocked by the reality of heroin and opioid drug addiction, suddenly our country found compassion for those who were struggling with drugs. No longer did we blame those who were on drugs. No longer did we view them as criminals or let them die and or throw them in prison. But we treated them as victims, created new health incentives, new health initiatives to save lives, and began to prosecute and hold accountable doctors and pharmaceutical companies. The difference is crystal clear. When black people use drugs, we call it criminal, and we harass their communities by using the drugs as the most current excuse and reason to arrest them and throw them in jail. But when white people begin to struggle with the same drugs, we call it a health crisis, and we have compassion for the addicted. This, people of God, is systematic racism. The prophet Isaiah, in his day, he looked out at God's people and saw them harassed and helpless, and God's Spirit spoke to him. God's Spirit put in Isaiah's heart hope that one day God would send a servant who would come with the power and authority to bring transformation to God's harassed people. Jesus read those predictive and hopeful words when he began his public ministry. In the synagogue in Nazareth, Jesus unfurled the Isaiah scroll and read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." As disciples of Jesus Christ, as the recipients of God's Spirit, as partners of God in this world, we are called to look upon those in our world who are harassed. We are called to have compassion upon them. We are called to do all that is within our God-given power and authority to bring healing and restoration, to cleanse the lepers, and to raise the dead. Now, if you don't feel like God has given you the spiritual gifts necessary to cleanse the lepers or to raise the dead, then you and I together, we face the challenge of needing to do some prayerful work to seek to understand what gifts God has given us by God's Spirit, what ways God has empowered us to bring about healing and restoration of life in this world. How has God made us ready to address the needs of those in our world who are harassed and hopeless? If you do not feel like God has given you the gifts to cleanse the lepers or to raise the dead, then perhaps God has given you and I the spiritual power to raise our voices and to advocate for change in our society. Perhaps God's Spirit is moving in you and I to make us generous with our earthly treasures, to donate to causes that are advocating for bringing about the long overdue changes and reforms to our society. Perhaps the Spirit of God will move in you and I to give us vision and understanding for how it is that we can use our political influence, our voices, our bodies to draw attention to the injustices in our communities and in our state and in our country and in God's world. In doing so, in raising our voices, in giving our advocacy through our generosity and our faithful stewardship of the resources, both physical, tangible, and spiritual, which God has put within our power, we meet the calling that God has given us. People of God, the harvest is plentiful. The work to be done at times feels insurmountable, and the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. And may we keep our ears and our hearts open to hear God's call. Amen.